But God had ordained that when the word of God came, that we who would believe on it, we could obtain those things which he promised in his word. And those things which are promised are all things which pertain to life and godliness. He's promised that. So I have faith in that. That is the knowledge of God. The knowledge of God has come to me. God has, by his divine power, provided all things that pertain to life and godliness, because we are to profit in godliness, not to profit in this world, but we are to profit in godliness. Godliness is the things in which we are to profit in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the faith of him. That's what makes our faith honorable. Faith that does not lead you to righteousness is not honorable. Faith that does not give you godliness is not, because you know why? It's not the faith of him. His divine power has given us things. How has it given it? You know what? Through the knowledge of him that called us to glory and virtue. We are called to glory and virtue. And it is through the knowledge of that calling to virtue, to glory, to godliness. Through faith in that calling. Faith in that expectation of the receiving of those things. Not only in the world to come, but in this life. As he says, they pertain unto life and godliness. All the things that in this world we are to obtain in Christ Jesus. Because we are to become like him. Not in someplace in the sweet by and by, but even now, it must begin. We must be born again to be saved. And we also must grow up into him. People think they're just going to be born again, and they don't even follow the formula for being born again, which is you've got to be born of water and spirit. Rather, they just say, well, I'm just going to have faith, and faith alone is going to save me. When the Bible teaches that no, faith alone cannot save you. It's like if God were to say to you, have all things which pertain to life and godliness, but I'm not going to use my divine power to give you any of it. Do it yourself. Everything that pertains to life and godliness, give it to yourself. Ow. The microphone. Give it to yourself. Those things which pertain to life and godliness. Do it. You do it. I'm making an allusion here back to James, which we recently studied. Remember James chapter 2, verses 14 and 15? What if God is going to say to you, okay, have glory, virtue, godliness in the fullest. You do it. I'm not going to use any of my power to help you. What kind of guy would he be then? Not a very faithful one. Kind of a demanding without, asking of things of us which we are not able to do. He would have had to create the world very different for us to be able to fulfill righteousness that way. But he chose to create the world in such a way that we would fulfill righteousness by his graciousness towards us. And that his spirit would be in us. And that by the faith of him, which he gives us, it is the gift of God. Faith is even the gift of God. He would give us more gifts. They are given to us exceeding great and precious promises. Timia, again that word timos, which means honorable. Precious, I like precious though, I do. I'm just trying to give you a little continuity. Because when you see the word honor in the scriptures, it's that word. Timia, okay, just so you know. And then it's translated here, precious. It is precious. These are great, honorable, precious, glorious, wonderful, unspeakable promises. That by these promises, you might be partakers of the divine nature. Now, how do promises make you partakers of anything? Oh, a bunch of empty promises? Well, if they be empty promises. Because man, see, the thing is, we deal with men all the time. Men make empty promises. I may promise someone something, and then I can't deliver. So, all the worth of a promise is based on the one doing the promising. And therefore, we have great confidence. Because our faith is not in a man, but in God. And God is able to deliver on his promises. That is something I have a lot of faith to know and believe. Because he delivered on the promises he made to me to a certain point. I know also through the patience he's given me in that, that he's going to deliver all of his promises to me. That I will be made conformable to the image of Christ. You know, I say this now, even yet, looking forward to that. And I know that in time I will obtain a greater measure. And that that will testify of the truth of what I'm even saying now. That is the great hope. Our hope is expectation. When God gives you a promise, your hope that he fulfills it is not a question or a doubting. It is, and I expect that I'm going to receive those things. The only doubt I would have would be is if God hadn't called me and I was just an interloper and I'm just here. I called myself. You know, I look at here. You know, the kingdom of God is preached and all men press their way into it. There's a press about Christ. I mean, look at all the people on TV, all the people on the radio. They're all crowding around Jesus. And he's mine, he's mine. Oh, I'm his. And they're all there. They want to get close to him because of the miracles, because of the cross. All those things, they want to partake of it. As the prophet Isaiah said, you know, the nation saw it and feared, and therefore they fixed it with nails that it wouldn't move. They want to make it all, nail it all down. They want to have it their way. Turn Jesus into an idol, and they have. The Jesus of the denominations is an idol. Because their Jesus does not have the divine power to give you all things pertaining to life and godliness. Not until you come out of there. Not until you separate yourself from their gospel. Not until you believe on the promises which he has given. Like in this second epistle of Peter. Peter, who knew Christ. Would you take rather the word of someone who, like me, lives thousands of years after? Or would you take rather the word of Peter? And I'm going to teach you what his words are. And the same spirit that inhabited Peter now inhabits me. What? So by these promises, we are partakers of the divine nature. The divine nature. How do you become partaker? What does that even mean? Does a man even know what that means? I know part of it means this. Godliness, glory, virtue. The divine nature is the nature which Christ possessed. It is that sinless, perfect nature. We are to become partakers of that. You know what partaker means? It is the Greek word used, it's koinonos, which is the word like koinonia, you've ever heard of that maybe? It means, it's the word used for fellowship. It is...